సహనావతు సహనౌ భునక్తు సవీర్యం కరవావహై తేజస్వినావతీతమస్తు మా విద్విషావహై. ఓం శాంతి శాంతి శాంతి. The chant was 28 to 32, chapter 4.
ద్రవ్యయజ్ఞాంతపోయజ్ఞాః యోగయజ్ఞాంతతాపరే స్వాధ్యాయజ్ఞానయజ్ఞాశ్చ యతయః సంశితవ్రతాః ద్రవ్యయజ్ఞాస్తపోయజ్ఞాః యోగయజ్ఞాంతతాపరే స్వాధ్యాయజ్ఞానయజ్ఞాశ్చ యతయస్సంశితవ్రతాః. అపానేజుపతిప్రాణం ప్రాణేపానం తతాపరే ప్రాణాపానగతిరూపా ప్రాణాయామపరాయణాః. అపానేజుపతిప్రాణం ప్రాణేపానం తతాపరే ప్రాణాపానగతిరూపా ప్రాణాయామపరాయణాః. అపరేణియతాహారాః ప్రాణాత్రాణేషు జుపతి సర్వేభ్యేతే యజ్ఞమిదః యజ్ఞక్షపితకల్మషాః. అపరేణియతాహారాః ప్రాణాత్రాణేషు జుపతి సర్వేభ్యేతే యజ్ఞమిదః యజ్ఞక్షపితకల్మషాః. యజ్ఞశిష్టామృతభుజః యాంతి బ్రహ్మ సనాతనం నాయం లోకోస్య యజ్ఞస్య కుతోన్యకురు సత్తమ యజ్ఞశిష్టామృతభుజః యాంతి బ్రహ్మ సనాతనం నాయం లోకోస్య యజ్ఞస్య కుతోన్యకురు సత్తమ. ఏవం బహువిధా యజ్ఞాః వితతా బ్రహ్మణో ముఖే కర్మచాన్విద్ధితాన్ సర్వాన్ ఏవం జ్ఞాత్వా విమోక్ష్యసే. ఏవం బహువిధా యజ్ఞాః వితతా బ్రహ్మణో ముఖే కర్మచాన్విద్ధితాన్ సర్వాన్ ఏవం జ్ఞాత్వా విమోక్ష్యసే.
This portion from verse 25 to 30, chapter 4, talks about 12 yajñas, how to convert different activities into worship. General belief is that worship should be done in a particular place only through certain activities, whereas as a person evolves spiritually, he converts each and every activity into a worship. Prayer is not a part-time, pastime hobby, it is a full-time awareness of truth. A place which is conducive to offer your prayers is chosen, no doubt, but to kindle that awareness which should be sustained throughout the day. Will be a certain way of prayer or place to choose, all this is to kindle the awareness, to establish the mind in the higher aspects of life. And that established mind should function in the world throughout the day. That's how it should be. But a lot of us offer our prayers, and when we are out of the prayer room, awareness is not for adults. And we again function in the world with mundane, and that seems to be the biggest challenge. So therefore, here in this portion, he says how to convert every activity into a worship. Everything to become a sadhana. Sadhana means to the achievement of spiritual enlightenment or spiritual development or self-development. So therefore, he said, some people offer the ritual done by some people to a particular devata. There are certain things they offer to a particular devata to get the blessings of the devata to fulfill certain desires. So yajna is what? Yajna is basically a ritual of fire worship. In the ritual of fire worship, you offer the ahuti to the fire, and the fire shoots up and blesses the person who performs the act. Thus, through these offerings, along with mantras, people get the benefit from their respective devata. This is called as deva yajna. So, since not all of us are capable of directly acting dedicated only to the realization of the self, and in the beginning, since we have too many desires, we need to set a limited goal or limited goals and then move ahead towards the absolute. So first he talks about deva yajna as the first yajna here. Deva yajna means sacrificing for a limited goal. In the modern context, in those days, the yajna ritual of fire worship was very common. Today, in the modern context, this may not be practiced that much. So in the modern context, how you should understand is, the fire is lit in the kund, and that kund could be a family, the kund could be an organization, kund could be a society, offering your efforts into the larger kund. That's the symbolism of the yajna. So when a person is selfishly functioning just for himself, now he offers to the kund of the family, and then from family he goes to the society, then he goes to the country, then he goes to the entire species. Thus slowly he evolves towards the self. So first he talks about deva yajna, and second he talks about brahma yajna. Brahma yajna is when you have attained sufficient chitta shuddhi. See, why at the moment you are not able to say that my goal is self-realization, and even if you say it is just verbal saying, it is not coming from within, because you are not free from your desires. You see, so as long as you are not free from the desire, the bandha, you cannot say that my goal is self-realization. Therefore, you have to go from the relative level. So temporarily fulfill the desires, but the goal is not to fulfill the desires. The goal is to move towards the atma. Remember, all the sadhana that are mentioned here, for example, later on in the next he is going to talk about dama yajna, sense control, control of your senses, in itself is not the end. It is a means to an end. So you need to attain certain amount of chitta shuddhi. Chitta shuddhi means thought purification, mind purification, so that the mind now has turned away from the world and it's interested only in the realization of the truth. Till such time, you do all the practices that rids you or rids the mind of the bulk of the desires. So deva yajna is to do away with the mental impurities. Many rituals are only to do away with the mental impurities.
Mental impurities?
Yes. Mental and physical, both. Impurities basically. And only when your mind is rid of impurities, at least the bulk of it, can that jnanam happen in that moment. And jnanam is the direct solution. What frees you from bondage is jnanam. And for jnanam, you need to attain certain qualification. So there are many rituals mentioned which to attain chitta shuddhi, and chitta shuddhi helps you gain knowledge, and knowledge will directly make you liberated from the trial of this samsara. Right? So Devajanya is for what? Chitta Shuddhi. And having attained Chitta Shuddhi, now you gain the knowledge and you directly sacrifice the ego. With Brahma Yajna, what are you sacrificing? You are sacrificing the ego. With all other Yajna, there are many things that are sacrificed. But the performer of the ritual, the Yajna, still has the ego. That I am doing. Remember, we have just concluded the portion where he says, if you have Kartrutva Bhav, then definitely the karma will have the fall of Punya and Paap. If you do not have Kartrutva Bhav, if you have Brahma Buddhi, then when you do the action, you will neither have Punya nor Paap. So now, why you don't have Brahma Buddhi? Because desires are there. So even though we study the scripture, even though every week we study the Gita,
desires are
not going. So therefore now, keeping the desires, you oblige it, try to fulfill them, but not to go on fulfilling the desires and get stuck there, but to fulfill them, be done with them, and move ahead in life. So then in Brahma Buddhi, in Brahma Yajna, second yajna, a person having got rid of the bulk of his desires, is directly functioning only for the liberation of the self. He sacrifices his ego and tries to kindle the self or self-knowledge. That is called Brahma Yajna. So the first yajna that Lord Krishna talked about is called Deva Yajna. The second yajna is Brahma Yajna. Everybody has to come to Brahma Yajna. All other yajnas are means to Brahma Yajna. And Brahma Yajna is the means to realization. Remember this. Because Brahma Yajna establishes the knowledge in you and knowledge liberates. That's the topic. So this is what he discussed in verse number 25, which we saw last week. And in 26, which we saw again last week, he says, others offer hearing and other senses as sacrifice into fires of restraint. Now the third yajna is Dhamma Yajna. What is Dhamma Yajna? What does the word Dhamma mean? Sense control. Dhamma Yajna means sense control. Senses are the door through which the world enters. Right? We have five senses. These five organs of perception are the door through which the world enters, are the same door through which mind goes out. So without sense control, no achievement is possible. Even the worldly achievement is not possible. Forget about spiritual achievement. There are so many people with extraordinary talent and skill giving themselves to their sense demands, becoming slaves to their sense demands, have gone into oblivion without achieving what they could have otherwise achieved. We have seen this in many fields, isn't it? We have seen this in cricket, we have seen in any sports, anything that you take, even in business. A person is extremely talented, but they got addicted to some kind of sense indulgence. So that the person is not able to focus and deliver. Talent is there, but without sense control, he is thrown it away. So therefore, first things first, control your senses. Now whenever we talk about control, remember this example. Whenever we talk about restraint, remember this example of Goda, horse riding. You sit on the horse and ride the horse. There is a rein with which you control the horse. Now, the horse is going in the right direction. You let it go. If the horse go helter-skelter, it is only then you pull the horse using the reins and direct it on the right direction again. Exactly like that, your senses are the horses. You are the one who is sitting and riding the horses, the senses, whenever it takes you to the area which is not good for your goal. you pull it back. So sense control is not sense denial. So one of the common examples we give in our classes is when a businessman had to attend a very important meeting early morning and he needs to be fresh and energetic to be present in the meeting where the important decisions are going to be made, he needs to have a good rest the previous night, even though it happens to be a Friday night, that is, because the meeting is scheduled on Saturday. And Friday night he used to go for late night parties, but on that night he can't afford to go for that late night party. Why? Because next day, early morning, there is a meeting and this will directly hinder his performance in the meeting. The decision making process is going to be hindered. This is called sense control. When your senses take you towards the area which are not good or could be detrimental for your goal, you restrain. This is called sense control. Dhamma yajna. Then the fourth yajna that he talked about is what? Vishaya grahana yajna. This is again given in the 26th verse, second line. Vishaya grahana yajna means you absorb the sense perception. You see something and you absorb it. Meaning, in the first portion we said that which are not to be seen, heard, smelled, touched. What's the other one we left?
Taste.
You refrain from. Even when we sit and do meditation or you study, you try to keep an atmosphere which is conducive for you to focus. Association of thought. You listen. Like for example, some people say agarbatti. For them, the association is spiritual. Suppose you put a cigarette, this is also smoke, that is also smoke. You understand? The association is different. So basically, for the goal, you control your senses. Then, whatever helps you in the achievement of the goal, that you allow your senses to contact. But having contacted, link the perception with perception. Is it clear?
Sometimes I have to repeat this.
Simple. You are given eyes to see.
No, not
just coming to the point. You are given eyes to see. You are given nose to smell, ears to hear, tongue to taste, skin to touch. Therefore, nothing wrong in the perception. But for your goal, if they become an obstruction, you refrain them. And those which are helpful, you contact. Simple. You understand? Through your eyes, through your nose, through your skin, through your tongue, through your ears. So you have to find out for me, because for somebody this may not be an obstruction. Therefore they are going there, maybe. But for you it may be an obstruction. So you should not go. We are not seeing that particular sense contact is bad
for you.
In fact, a lot of people, by demonizing that sense, they get stuck with that sense. Remember, the moment you condemn something, you get condemned by it. You get stuck there. So a lot of people interpret in their minds self-control as self-denial, as if something wrong in the sense. Therefore they say, oh, these people, Vedantins, they are all against senses, never ever go to them, they don't know how to enjoy life. They will spoil our life also. Not only they have spoiled their life, they will spoil our life also. It is not like that. So therefore I am saying, Dhamma Yajna, in fact both yajnas are basically control only. But what it means is, one is you don't contact that which not to be, that which is not to be contacted because it's detrimental for your goal.
That is Dhamma.
And the Vishaya Grahana Yajna is you contact those and perceive them which are not
conducive for your growth.
Which are conducive for your growth. Which are not detrimental to your growth.
But having contacted, here is the point, having contacted, make sure that you move on to the next perception and don't linger there.
Don't get attached.
Going on lingering on, yeah? That should not happen. So, four yajnas: Dravya Yajna, Brahma Yajna, Dhamma Yajna, and Vishaya Grahana Yajna. You mean?
Swami, Brahma Yajna will come. Brahma Yajna will come in the end.
You already said Brahma Yajna. Discuss with
you. Yeah, I know that.
In the beginning, he is saying there is a limited goal for which a person can work, or a person can work for absolute goal. A person cannot work for absolute goal unless he is attaining Chitta Shuddhi. And for Chitta Shuddhi, you have to do Daiva Yajna, you have to do Dhamma Yajna, etc. So first he is just mentioning there is one Daiva Yajna and Dhamma Yajna. Limited goals and absolute goal. Okay? Then he is talking about Dhamma Yajna. Then he is talking about Vishaya Grahana Yajna. Then in verse number 27, which we have completed last week, he is talking about Shama Yajna or Atma Samyama Yajna. What is Atma Samyama Yajna? Atma here in the context means mind. Mind control. In the previous verse, he talked about sense control. Since the senses are five in number, he talked about fire as fires of restraint. And here he is talking about one mind, therefore he says fire of restraint. Fire of restraint. In other words, Sarvan Indriya Karmani Prana Karmani Chapare Atma Samyama Yoga. Now it is singular. It is not plural. The fire of yoga of self-control, Juvati Jnana Deepine. Juvati Jnana Deepine. So it says, he is talking about mind control in verse number 27. What is mind control? What is the subtle difference between sense control and mind control? Mind control means control of thoughts. You are not allowing those things which will encourage the existing negative thoughts or add to the existing negative thoughts.
That is sense control.
Mind control is, don't allow your mind to indulge in the existing negative thoughts. That is important. For example, you could have stopped yourself from going out and meeting people. But sitting at home, you could be dwelling on the negative thoughts, no?
So don't engage in the baggage.
Exactly. Don't engage in the baggage. Is the absolute thing that is saying here. Because what happens usually is, we are sitting and ruminating over the thoughts. And interestingly, what happens is, today we feel we do not have such thoughts, but we do not know what is the baggage. The vasanas that are there in us only sprout when we confuse the atmosphere thoughts. You may think I am perfectly fine. Right? But when, for example, you see a barren land, it's absolutely brown. When the first rain shower comes and touches the ground, you see slowly greenery coming, grass coming. Why? Because the seeds have been there in the ground. But it was not known, it was not seen. Exactly like that, in us also, there are vasanas. So you have no idea, for example, even you would be sitting in the seat of meditation, having practiced little bit of self-control, sense control, but sitting in the seat of meditation, you would find all sorts of sensual thoughts or any other thoughts coming, even in a mandir. You understand? So some people ask me, sir, in mandir, I am praying to the Lord. The Lord is decorated with lot of diamonds and jewels and all that. And my mind is going into diamonds and jewels. And my God, another thought is coming, understand? And the more it goes, the more it is coming. So mind control means with awareness, with knowledge, you don't identify with negative and consciously identify with positive, with intellect's control. That is why he says, Juvati Jnana Deepite. Juvati Jnana Deepite. So when a person can control the mind only with awareness, only with knowledge. Without wisdom, without knowledge, controlling of mind is not possible. Without knowledge of controlling mind, then it amounts to suppression. When you suppress, what you are doing is you are pushing the mind deep inside. And when it goes deep inside, it is not going to go and sit down there quietly. Quietly like cancer. It goes on growing. And it only shows that with stage when it is really serious. You understand? So therefore, Jnana Deepite, kindled by the wisdom, with awareness. Remember this again, any sadhana is a sadhana. It is not the end, it is a means. For example, some people do, I'll talk about it in Tapa Yajna a little more. Any tapas, mauna vratam, anything that you do is for what? It's to achieve chitta shuddhi and to achieve self-realization. But a lot of people get stuck in the
ritual
itself.
Yeah.
Like every Tuesday you do a particular ritual. Or every Saturday you do a particular ritual. Every Friday you do a particular ritual. Every month, every year. During Navratras, for example, you go through fasting and all that. All these are meant for chitta shuddhi.
Right.
But some people get so agitated when some important obligation or something comes up, as a result of which they are not able to complete or do the ritual for that particular day or month or that period. I'm agitated. My God, I've been doing it for the last 20 years. I have to stop doing it now. Because for them, they are doing it without understanding.
Any of this, whenever you take control, it is underlined by awareness. If it is not underlined by awareness, then it becomes suppression, denial.
Let's get on to the next verse. Dravya yajnyastapo yajnyaha, dravya yajnyastapo yajnyaha, yoga yajnyastatapare, yoga yajnyastatapare, swadhyaya yajnana yajnyascha, swadhyaya yajnana yajnyascha, yataya samshita vrataha, dravya yajnyastapo yajnyaha, yoga yajnyastatapare, swadhyaya yajnana yajnyascha, yet others again offer wealth as sacrifice. Austerity as sacrifice, yoga as sacrifice, ascetics of rigid vows offer study and wisdom as sacrifice. So he's talking about dravya yajna. Dravya means what? Material wealth. In the ancient times, the person's wealth was assessed with the cows, grains, etc. So when he talks about dravya here, he's talking about material sacrifice, dravya yajna. Any material sacrifice, whether you do it in kind or in cash, basically you are sacrificing your wealth for enhancing others' wealth, for enhancing the totality's wealth. For example, This is, see, remember, we are talking about bhava. For example, you can take business itself as Dravyagya. But if a businessman looks at business as Dravyagya, not only his business will produce much more profit for him, it will also enhance people who work for him, their profits, their material wealth, and they will also be extremely happy, cheerful and peaceful. You are doing the same business, but the bhava is different.
You are doing it as Dravya Yajna.
See, when some people ask me to come and talk in some organizations or customer support, this point I make very important point. That is, what is my current perception or understanding of the customer, employer, employee? The three important aspects in the business: the customer, the employer, the employee. These are the words with which we refer. Employee is the word used for a person who has put his money, his or her money. Employee is the one who works, puts his hands and feet and brain for the organization. And customer is the one who buys the produce of the organization. Right? Now if you look at it differently, can the organization run if the customers don't buy your product? So who really employs you?
Customer.
So now customers should be looked at as the?
Customer is the king.
Yeah. So customers should be looked at as the employer.
Yeah.
You understand? Customers should be looked at as the?
Employer.
Employer. And then, who is the employer then? In the previous. Customer, employer, employee. This customer is now, we replace the word customer with employer. And what will you replace the word employer with in the previous sentence? Investor. The employer is the investor. Now how do you replace the word employee with?
That's a good question. Like the word
service provider. You understand? So the service provider and the investor don't look at each other as boss and subordinates. You understand? Somebody has invested his money and he may be also investing his hands, feet and brain. Right? The other person is not able to invest his money, but he's investing his time, effort, thinking, everything. So in that sense, he is also an investor, co-investor or service provider. So when they do business with this sort of mentality, then what yajna are they performing?
Dravya yajna. When Dravya yajna is performed, would they have worries?
Just before we started the class, Sadhana had a question about worry. I am telling now, worry is of the mind, and it is of the mind which has negative attitude or selfish attitude. A mind which has unselfish or selfless attitude cannot have worries. Impossible.
But an investor would be anxious
in
getting back.
That is what I am trying to do. Investor with Dravya attitude. You understand? Not with. See, yajna means what? I told you in the beginning itself, I explained to you the word yajna. Loka Sangraha. What is it? Tera Tujhko Arpan Kya Lage Mera. Don't forget that. I have been provided with energy. I have been provided with wealth. I have been provided with time. I have been provided with something. That something I offer in the best interest of the all. What I can invest. Some talent I have. A talent of dancing, a talent of singing, a talent of talking, a talent of writing, whatever it might be. That I'm investing
for the welfare of all. You have taken the word investment to mean from the selfish angle, how
you can get
few business people view of it as an I invested money to make money. Honestly speaking, really what you want is
you want to make money along with peace.
You do not want to make money whereby you are dependent on a psychiatrist or the tablets or some drugs for you to be able to sleep. So basically what he means by dravya yagya here, you need to understand this, dravya sacrificed in the right, with the right attitude, in the best interest of all. And when a person sacrifices dravya in the best interest of all, like Jesus Christ said, empty thyself, I shall fill thee. What is that? You can only inhale fresh air when you have exhaled stale air. You understand? But if you don't want to exhale, you will not be able to receive the fresh air as well. So remember, life is a cycle, it's a circulation, it's not a static, but it is a dynamic, cyclic motion. What goes around comes back. So a person who invests his capabilities, his wealth, you can use this word wealth broadly also. Wealth is not just material wealth. You understand? If you use it that way, there are other wealths. Everything in the interest of all. When a person simply sacrifices, that is what the word sacrifice means. The very word sacrifice means that. Otherwise, what are you sacrificing? I have to get this back. Then you are not doing it in the interest of all. The focus is, I must double my money, I must triple my money. My money, my. You understand? Incidentally, when a person functions with dravya yajna, he will be blessed with more dravya. It's a fact. I'm not getting into the names of the business people in India. You know them all. You find their names associated with most of the good work for not just now, for many generations. And for many generations, they are still continuing to grow rich. You understand? This is, with this understanding, deep rooted from in our scriptures, they go on investing their wealth for the welfare of all. And that's what happens is, more money comes. With the right attitude, when you function, when everybody functions, and then more money is invested further to employ more people. You understand? Thus, the wealth is also increasing. So, dravya yajna is basically sacrificing your wealth for the welfare of others. For a larger cause. And remember one thing, whenever we say for the larger cause, you are part of that larger cause. For example, when you work for a family, for your family, are you not part of that family?
No, but my
so a lot of people say, oh, working for others means what? I should not work for you, you should not work. When you work for your family, are you not part of the family? When you work for your business organization, are you not part of that organization? I remember some of the businessmen who, the leaders of the organizations during recession time, when their business did very well and they were chosen for certain awards, and the business magazines wanted to take pictures of the leaders, they said, we will give you a picture, allow you to take a picture of me, only if you take the picture of me with my other employees. Because it was a collective effort. Just because I put in money doesn't mean the others' investment is to be looked upon lightly. So such a person with that right attitude, when the wealth is sacrificed, that is called Dhamyayagya. Yes, Abhijit, you have something to ask.
So it is a true word charity came across, which is now misconstrued and everything.
Exactly.
But originally charity meant that you do everything for everything, charitable nature.
You have something more in certain areas, you may have something less in certain areas. For example, some people have more money, some people have more cheer, some people are extremely active. They are able to, they have too much energy with which they can act and give. So each one is blessed with something or the other. You understand? So whatever you are blessed with, you should use it for the benefit of others, not out of ignorance and ego. Say, okay, I have been blessed with this, now I try to make use of this and make as much as possible just for myself. If you have that attitude and function, then that is not yajna. So yajna means having the right attitude and function.
My question, maybe I put it wrong, was like, now with the recession happening, at least my turnover went down last year. Yes, we did take some steps for which we knew our turnover was also going down. So now we are worried. I mean, we worried that we were more concerned. Maybe worried is not the right. So you know, we keep it putting in more efforts, tightening our belts further, reducing costs, seeing, you know, everyone saying we don't have money. So, you know, the strategies which we're deciding whether we give to that client or don't give to that client. That sort of worry is what I'm trying to work on.
I see, that's what I'm saying. Like I answered with few other points when I answered that question, I'm answering this also. Attitude is very important in tackling the worries. You cannot have everything and have a negative attitude and not find worry in your life. If you have negative attitude, you would continue to have worries even when the business is making profit, even when things are going on fine. In fact, a lot of people, so in other words, no selfish person can be free from worries. No selfless person will be subjected to worries. So,
no, is it worry or is it concern? I mean, I myself have deeply
concerned. Then you need to talk about it. What do you mean? Concern. See, please understand, we can play with words. But if your blood pressure is going up, it is worrying. It is not concerned. No, I'm just keeping you in a light-hearted way. For you to understand what is concern. Concern is in the best interest of all. In the distinct scenarios, what are the new measures that we need to take in terms of whether it is an austere drive in the organization, or in terms of putting in more man work, man time, whatever it might be. You understand? You cannot, you have to combat worry with awareness, with action, with attitude. You understand? All this. You can't just plan, program and work, but continue to have healthy attitude and be free from worries. This is what I am saying. Therefore, all this when it is checked, you will be free from worries, whether it is at the business front or it is at the personal front. That said, here he is talking about Dravya Yajna, sacrificing one's wealth for the welfare of the others, for the welfare of the total, for the welfare of the all. Now this also, why do you do? A lot of people do this because they believe by giving wealth they gain punya.
Yeah, and
you're
doing benefit to the
other. Exactly.
But that thought should never come.
The moment you say yajna, remember yajna is done not to gain punya, yajna is done to eradicate both punya and pa. A lot of people, when they do Dravya Yajna, they do just for punya. Somebody said to me, when a person is retiring, generally he does not want to see a salary. You know, this is just an observation by a person. It may be wrong, it may be right. It may be a very generalized statement.
But if at all some people are doing like that, why is it
they feel like, oh, little guilty, that I'm okay, now I'm going to retire. Might as well retire with some good punya, some good things done. You understand? Just to compensate for whatever negligence that has happened in my, from my side. Ultimately, you simply understand that you are a spoke in the wheel of life. If I understand that I am a spoke in the wheel of life, having come to breathe in this world, I must leave this world a better place to live and not destroy it. When I am there, first thing, I must try to contribute positively. Second thing, definitely not contribute negatively. Even if you are not contributing positively, stop the negative thing at least. You should leave your family a better place to live for the next generation. You should leave your organization, your country, everything as a better place for the next generation. That's how you live when you live based on yajna. Right? That's what yajna means. Yajna itself means looking at it from the total point of view, not from my personal point of view. But if you see everything the way people view from selfish point of view, that is why, in spite of all the comforts rising compared to 100 years ago, you find more people visiting psychiatrists and psychologists. Because if the attitudes are becoming more and more selfish, if you put rights over duty, if you put taking over giving, it will definitely produce heat in your brain. It will give you stress. That is all. So dravya yajna, then tapo yajna. Tapas, people do tapas. See, in fact, in dravya yajna, the success is, because some people ask, in the fire ritual, they actually put different dravyas. Say, what nonsense is this? So much of food is being wasted into fire. Remember this. It is an act to kindle awareness. A very little portion of your harvest is put in the sacrificial fire to kindle the awareness in each one of us to function with that awareness. It is not as though, but over a period of time, a lot of people started thinking that if I do this, I'll get this punya per se, and they rather put food in fire than into hungry stomachs. They don't understand that the fire in the belly is also fire. You understand? You will not feed a hungry stomach, but you will be ready to spend time, money, effort, put everything in the fire ritual.
Okay.
Exactly. But that is not the idea of the very ritual. Something is started with a certain genuinity, and it is misunderstood, misinterpreted, and it has gone completely the other angle. You understand? Therefore, it is a practice that is done to kindle the awareness. To the Lord, who has given us all, we give and then partake the rest. That's the idea. That's the attitude. Remember, the greater the attitude, the greater the altitudes you will scale in life. The smaller, the lesser the attitude, the lesser the altitudes you will scale in life. Definitely. So therefore, yajna means number, attitude, won't be that. Now he's talking about tapa yajna. Tapas. What is tapas? First of all,
penance.
What is it? Now you said tapas, 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 what is it?
Tapas means yati.
Yeah, what is it?
Tapas means to meditate.
There are two aspects to tapas, austerity. The primary aspect is, as a result of one's awareness of the energy getting dissipated in the lower channels, one conserves that energy. So the first aspect of tapas is what? Conservation of energy that is getting dissipated in the lower channels. Really? For example, we say that person practices Mangala Vrata for so many days. The Lord has given you the option of speech to speak. Why are you keeping dumb? Instead of using it, to be able to use it better in the time and the right context where it needed to be used, you conserve the energy. When you watch these athletes who run during this marathon or even this 1500 meters race and all that, they have to go, if it's about 1600 meters, 1500 meters, they have to go around 4 rounds. See, first they are not running that fast. What are they doing? Conserving their energy. And slowly, the fellow may be third in the line. The last lap, he suddenly exerts his energy so much that he shoots past everybody and comes first. This is how you lead your life also. So tapas is basically an intelligent use of your energy for the higher. So the first aspect is conservation of energy that is getting dissipated in the lower and directing that energy towards the higher.
That's the second one.
Directing. Simply conserving. For what? And die a miserly fellow. You understand? That's not the idea. The idea is you conserve it for higher purpose. Without understanding this, a lot of people keep on playing dumb in the name of being, in the name of practicing honorable. You understand? You are meeting somebody after so many years, and it happened to be on a day when you actually practice honorable.
What do you
do? You should understand. The whole purpose is, instead of that, you say, I will not talk to you, and you don't talk to the person only, because it's a normal day for you, and the person is gone, and you know, what for am I practicing this now? You can use some other way, and that there should be some sense of proportion. If tapas is not underlined by sense of proportion or awareness or thinking, it ceases to be tapas, it becomes a rigidity, you get attached to it. And then it is not tapas. Then tapas has become an end in itself, not a means to an end.
Can also be interpreted as that you're giving into yourself of the monster by saying that, oh wow, look who's here. You know, yeah. Forget it, so what is my mom today? Let me just tell you.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
That's
you are not the boss otherwise. Senses are the boss. Your tapas is the boss. You are not the boss. The tapas we should be in control of the tapas. Balance it out. That doesn't mean every day you start finding some excuses to talk. You understand? So basically,
I mean, you can, you don't have to be so rigid about about any particular.
You don't have to be so rigid, only want to be like negative. Put it positively.
Don't be rigid.
All rules are made only to break when it needs to be broken. When it needs to be broken. So the rules are subservient to us. We are not subservient to rules. You follow the rules, adhere to the rules, but when you have to go against it, you do so Otherwise, it's your mind ruling you, not you ruling the mind.
So you is who? It's not your senses, it's not your mind. You is who then? Who is ruling?
The individual in this context. The individual who has the body, mind, intellect. The individual who has the body, mind, intellect, functioning with the intellect. If he is not functioning with the intellect, then he becomes a jiva. Okay? So therefore, tapo yajna. Now what is tapo yajna? You go through tapasya, an austere life, to develop certain things in you, or for others' sake, but for the welfare of everybody. For example, you won't exert physically in somebody's wedding. You are not able to contribute materially, but you go there and physically work for that person's wedding. You are contributing your energy for the welfare of others. You understand? So when you contribute your physical energy for the welfare of the total, that is tapas.
What does austerity mean?
I just not explained to you.
No. In a deeper meaning.
In a sense?
Meaning austerity means what? I mean, how do you practice austerity?
Austerity is basically conserving energy and acting towards that. That is austerity. What is austerity? Tapas and austerity? Austerity is English word, tapas is Sanskrit word. That's all. That's what I'm saying. Austerity does not mean, foolishly some people say, austere life. They are basically leading a miserly life in the name of austere life. That is not austerity. They just cannot spend their money. The other people are spendthrift. Either there is a group of people who are spendthrift, or there are a group of people who are miserly. Austerity person is not somebody who is against spending money, but he spends with awareness. He spends his energy with awareness. He always looks in terms of the total and spends his energy accordingly. When there is no need, why do you have to go to a business class? When there is a need, why should you not go into business class? You understand?
But then how do you decide?
You decide. You can't allow somebody else.
So how do you decide?
You decide using your intellect.
So you might be...
You use your intellect and decide. Some people don't agree. Doesn't matter. As long as you use your intellect and decide.
And not cheat at somebody.
Use your own hard-earned money.
The point is, it is not your hard-earned money or somebody else is paying for it. In fact, you should be all the more austere when somebody else is paying for it. Similarly, you should be austere when it is your own money. Money is money, doesn't matter whose money it is. It is to be utilized for the welfare of all. If certain thing is definitely helpful, which helps me in conserving the energy, for example, you yourself driving or somebody else driving you. Excuse me. You say, no, I cannot be seen driving because that is not the status symbol. Status symbol means I should be seen being driven. Are you with me? That is one kind of madness. Other is, when there are other things to be done, you say, please, you drive. The driver drives and you go about doing that work sitting at the back. Even if it means you need little rest so that you can go and function better in the organization, such areas, you take the luxury of a driver. You are just casually going about to a club or something where it really doesn't matter. You don't need that much of a preservation of energy or anything. The time, you drive. So austerity has to be defined by you only, as far as your life is concerned. Others may say, is just justified. Fine. You just make sure that you are not justified. From within, you should be clear. Because the world will have all sorts of perceptions. You can't stop the world from having their perception. Somebody who is really miserly would be looked at as a simple person. Some person who is really austere could be seen as a person who is spendthrift, because that day they met him when he was traveling on a business class. But what they don't understand is why he is doing so, for what? They have no clue. They just saw the person traveling on a business class. They just saw the person sitting in sitting and some driver is driving the bus. Oh, they don't need an austere life. They are drivers. You understand? People can look at one and blow it out of proportion. You should have the intellect to be able to drive your life, let people say what they say. Anyway, that is besides the point. Austerity is tapo yajna, is where you practice tapasya for the welfare of all. For example, when Hiranyakashipu did tapas, it won't qualify as tapo yajna. When Ravana did tapasya, it won't qualify as tapo yajna. Why? They are doing it for their selfish power, for their selfish reasons. So that is why the words to be taken together is tapo yajna, dravya yajna, tapo yajna. So anything you do could be done in the spirit of yajna, or it could be done in the selfish spirit. If it is done in the spirit of yajna, then that action liberates you. If it is done in the spirit of selfishness, then that action binds you. This is tapo yajna. Then what is the next one? Yoga yajna. Yoga yajna. Yoga, the meaning of word yoga comes from the root yuj, which means to unite. Yoga yajna basically means you are trying to unite yourself with the higher. When you sacrifice the efforts of your mind and intellect to unite with the higher, to help, to pass on the cheer, to bring down the calmness on the others, for the welfare of everyone, to move towards spiritual development, then that is called yoga yajna. So even if you take the word yoga to mean Patanjali yoga, some people interpret this word yoga to mean Patanjali yoga shastras yoga, where he talks about Ashtanga yoga. What are the Ashtanga yoga that he talks about? Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi. This is the Ashtanga yoga. That Ashtanga yoga which Patanjali talks about is also for the union with Atma. Otherwise it is not yoga. Otherwise it is just a physical drill. What do you think? Yama means what? Yam, niyam. You say yam means what? Niyam means what? Niyam means that which is to be done. Yam means that which is to be avoided, refrained from. Then asana, the physical asanas. Then pranayama, the vital air sheath. Then pratyahara. Pratyahara, broadly speaking, is nothing but sense control. Then dharana, concentration, mind control. Then dhyana, meditation. Then samadhi, getting established in jnana. Dharana. Dharana means concentration. Concentration in the context means mind control. Yama, Niyama, Asana, Pranayama, Pratyahara, Dharana, Dhyana, Samadhi. So mind control, then uske baad, the mind that is controlled goes and is capable of doing meditation, a single pointed concentration, and that leads to ultimate samadhi, realization, in the eight steps. So yoga, why do you do this yoga? Why do you offer your mind and intellect for the welfare of the others, for the spiritual development of everybody, to attain a certain calmness at the total level to help people emotionally and intellectually so that they are able to use their energies towards the spiritual growth. So Yajna simply means utilizing material, physical, emotional, intellectual wealth for the welfare of all. If I have got strength, I use it for the welfare of all. If the strength happens to be material strength, the strength happens to be physical strength, or emotional strength, or intellectual strength, I don't think in terms of, okay, I've got this, let me use this to extract things from the world to me. This only a person who has no knowledge will do.
A person who has knowledge understands extracting from the total and amassing it in one particular corner is not good for the total and it's not good for oneself also.
Just like how when the different parts of the body tries to extract from the other parts and not contribute for the other parts, all other parts also fail and that part also fail. So society, a country, a community, an organization or a family can only come up when there is identification with each and every one, by each and every one in that group, not otherwise. So that each and every one contributes. Parasparam Bhavayanta. Don't forget, verse number 11 of chapter 3. Parasparam Bhavayanta. He said that. So Yoga Yajna is offering, if you look at it as services of the mind and intellect for the welfare of others' mind and intellect, or you could take it as the doing of Ashtanga Yoga for the welfare of the total. Simple, for example, somebody asks, if I am healthy, in what way am I serving others? If you are unhealthy, are you not doing disservice to others? If you fall sick, see, simple actually. Whenever a terrorist is coming in, he wants to find information from the government, let us say. Who will he catch hold of? He will catch hold of a fellow who is weak, who is ready to take bribe, who is ready to pass on the information, inside information for some money or some favor. So he will first look at those people, isn't it? He is interested to. So similarly, when a person is unhealthy, he will be the person who all the negativities catch. And through him the negativity spreads. So when a person keeps himself strong and healthy, he is automatically doing service to the others. So when, even from that angle if you look at it, if you do just work to keep yourself strong, that means you are actually contributing for the welfare of others. Furthermore, you can go utilize that strength and contribute, that second thing. But just to keep yourself strong is your primary obligation. That is why Swami Vivekananda always said, strength, 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 not weakness. So, Yoga Yajna is not just to you become strong. Firstly, yes, if you become strong, you are doing some service. And that strength, you utilize it, use it for the welfare of others. Now the next one is Swadhyaya Jnana Yajna. This has two different interpretations. Some people like Swamiji here, you see, he calls Swadhyaya Jnana Yajna as one Yajna. Some people call Swadhyaya Yajna and Jnana Yajna. It really doesn't matter. You can say instead of 12, there is 13, 14, 15, 250, doesn't matter. As long as you convert all activities into Yajna. Swadhyaya means what? Vedas have shabdam as well as meaning. The sound intonation as well as the meaning which appeals to the intellect. Intonation, shabda is captured on a daily basis from childhood days, where they simply chant the mantras and memorize the entire Vedas.
This is what some people call as Swadhyaya.
All they do is, from childhood days, simply memorize the mantras, chant them in that rhythmic order. This itself has a lot of confusing effect on your mind. Because remember, mind thoughts are also nothing but vibrations, sound is also nothing but vibration. So if you happen to say a certain negative word, the vibration of it negative is only going to come back to be negative inside you. This is what they say.
And around also.
Absolutely. What goes around comes around.
If you really understand this, you do not want to say anything negative. You do not even want to think anything negative. The gross gets transferred to you in a subtle form again. What goes around comes around. Therefore, the shabda is captured, chanted and captured to have a mental quietude, calmness, a mind that is prepared, is able to dwell into the meanings, jnanam, understand, and absorb that totally. So swadhyaya, jnana and the split are, can be taken together. End of the day, what it means is individual self-study. You sit down, you sit down, you put in the effort to memorize, to kindle that some vibrations within you, which is conducive for the calmness and quietude of the mind. With that, you go into the meanings, dwell deep into taking the questions as your friend, question them, analyze them deeply, and put it into your experience and make it your own, and thus you destroy the ego completely and awaken the self within. That is called as Swadhyaya Jnana Yajna. So there are five yajnas or four yajnas spoken in this verse, depends how you look at it. If you take Swadhyaya Jnana Yajna as one yajna, it is four. If you take Swadhyaya Yajna and Jnana Yajna separately, it is five. So Dravya Yajna, Tapo Yajna, Yoga Yajna, Swadhyaya Yajna, Jnana Yajna. Okay. So these five. Now what is Swadhyaya Jnana Yajna? As I mentioned to you, sitting down and studying and gaining the knowledge, kindling the awareness, destroying the ego. This is the most important yajna. Lord Krishna is going to say of all the yajnas, Swadhyaya Jnana Yajna is superior later on. This Swadhyaya Jnana Yajna we won't do. We will not do self-study. We would rather sit and listen to many lectures and take notes. Firstly, that itself not very good to do. Even if you do, you will do that. But unless you do self-study, unless you put in that effort every day, in Swadhyaya Jnana Yajna, what is being sacrificed? In Yoga Yajna, your mind and intellect is sacrificed for the welfare of all. In Dravya Yajna, material. In Tapo Yajna, physical. In Swadhyaya Jnana Yajna, what is sacrificed?
Ego.
Ego is sacrificed. You understand? Ignorance is sacrificed. The base of ego is ignorance. Ignorance is sacrificed, knowledge is kindled. All this is fine. As long as your ignorance is not kindled, you remain where you are. See, you are in the dream. You are essentially the waker. But now you do not know that you are the waker who's in the dream world dreaming. Right? In the dream you are doing Dravya Yajna, Tapo Yajna, Yoga Yajna, helping so many people, doing everything, but you have not done anything to remove your ignorance. Actually, you help yourself and you can help better others only when you remove your ignorance. an ignorant man, whatever service he does, that service cannot be complete. You understand?
A person who has removed the ignorance, he alone can do genuine service.
All other service cannot be genuine. It's like a blind person trying to help another blind person cross the road. You remain in ignorance, and a lot of people continue to remain in ignorance and do all the other type of dana.
They are not ready to sacrifice their ignorance and gain knowledge. They don't realize that. Along with all this, to attain a certain mental purification, remember what for all this is done. All this is done because I want to remove the ignorance and get established in the higher knowledge that I am Atma and not this limited, restricted individual. As long as that knowledge is not gained, the potential of being born as a human being is wasted.
Human being has the potential to knock off the ignorance and realize the self. But without doing that, you waste your potential in everything else.
No doubt it is better. You are engaging in some sort of giving, but not at the cost of removing your ignorance.
Therefore, like a river, like a lake for example, just goes on collecting water. Then people go draw pipes and draw water from that. Isn't it? Similarly, you gain the knowledge, destroy your ignorance, then you think of serving and all that. Without destroying ignorance, you would go and help who should not help you. You understand? So the emphasis is not in giving. If you go a little deeply, the emphasis is in actually destroying the ignorance. Because you become true giver only when the, or only to the extent the ignorance is destroyed. So in other words, Dravi Yajna, Tapu Yajna, Yoga Yajna should not be at the cost of Swadhyaya Jnana Yajna. Dravya Yajna, Tapya Yajna, Yoga Yajna should be done to enhance your capacity to do Swadhyaya Jnana Yajna. But the Swadhyaya Jnana Yajna is not going to immediately give you results.
Dravya Yajna, some people say, oh, very good person, excellent. Lots of awards are given. Tapya Yajna also,
you see some strength, you understand? Something is happening to you. Swadhyaya, every day I've been studying, this happening is happening at a subtle level. It is not seen at the gross level. It is not very entertaining compared to those other things. Therefore, I don't want to exert. So time studying, difficult. And also you don't see the tangible results happening. Results are happening, but it's not tangible. But slowly, slowly, when a person does this concerted effort, afterwards he sees tremendous growth. Mind becomes extremely calm, intellect becomes sharp, body becomes active. What more a person can ask? So that brings us to the conclusion of verse number 28. We'll do 29 next week. Om Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadhaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.